בוקר אור רבותיי, בסימנה טבעה. We are now about to begin a new endeavor that is very, very lofty and very, very beneficial to all our members. And this is the explanation of Sefer Tehillim of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. This is something that we've done in the past on a chapter basis. We picked Pirakim over here and over there, but now we'd like to go comprehensively from the beginning and explain it so our members can benefit not only from the words but also the intent of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom. This idea is the brainchild of our good friend, Dr. Rafi Meddeb, may he live and be well. He just lost his mother, who was a tzaddeket, Lili Le'ah Bat Virginia, Ruach Adonai Tenihenna Began Eden, and these classes, from beginning to end, will be studied and learned in her memory. Zichut David HaMelech Alav HaShalom Yagen Ba'ada V'ya'aleha B'gan Eden B'ginzeh Merumim Amen Ken Yehi Ratzon. Rabotai, I know many of you are expecting that we're going to say open up your Tehillim books to Perek Aleph and we're going to begin to explain. Well, if that's what you think, you're making a big mistake, because in order to enter the Tehillim, we need to have Hakdama. We need to have an introduction first, before we even open the book. As a matter of fact, we have to ask ourselves, how is it possible that we don't shake and tremble when we hold the Tehillim book in our hands? How is it possible that we're able just to read through these chapters in such a casual and a matter-of-fact manner? Do we realize what these words are? Do we realize where these words came from? The explanation of Botai is why are we not excited from the words of David HaMelech? Because, okay, go read Tehillim. You go to the bookshelf, you take the Tehillim book. Okay, you read. Okay, you read your 10 chapters, you put it back. Okay, next. Why don't we have the excitement? Why don't we have the feeling? It's no different than if somebody goes to the Kotel Ma'aravi. When he goes to the Kotel Ma'aravi and he's expecting to feel some sort of electrical charge in his neshama, and like most people, they go to the Kotel and they say, I didn't feel anything, it's a wall. And the explanation is why. And the answer is because you didn't prepare yourself before you went to the Kotel for the first time. You're right. If you don't prepare yourself, then there's nothing between the Kotel HaMa'aravi and the Great Wall of China. The whole key is the preparation. So if a person would say to himself, where am I about to go now? I'm about to go to the place where Adam HaRishon was created from. I'm about to go to the place where Noah brought a Korban when he came off the Teva. I'm about to go to the place where Avraham Avinu sacrificed his son Yitzhak at the Akedah. I'm going to the place over here where David HaMelech bought in order for the eventual place of the first Bet HaMikdash, the Makom of the first Bet HaMikdash, the Makom of the second Bet HaMikdash, the Makom of the third Bet HaMikdash, when you start to mentally prepare yourself what you're about to go to, and then you say to yourself, Me'olam lo zaza shechinah mekotel ma'arabi, that the shechinah never left this wall. Oh, now already the hakdama, the preparation, creates the emotion. But again, if you're just going cold, without any preparation, you're not going to get excited. The same thing I would say with the Tehillim. Unless we give ourselves a little pep talk to prepare ourselves for what we're about to do, then the Tehillim becomes just another religious book, some more religious literature. Yeah, we believe it has some value to it, some benefits, but we're not going to get the full voltage of what the Tehillim is supposed to do to us and how it's supposed to elevate us. Furthermore, Rabotai, I would venture to say that there's something that's working against us. and we have to clarify and get rid of this item right away, we have to take this off the table immediately if we are planning on succeeding here. There is a pasuk in the book of Yeshaya. The pasuk is in Perek Lamed Gimal. It is pasuk Yud Gimal. The prophet Yeshaya says, "Shim'u rechokim asher asiti, ud'u kerovim gevurati." The prophet refers to the people that are far away from God, the rechokim, and he refers to those that are kerovim, those that are close to God. Now, if you ask me, who's the kerovim? Us, the religious people. We're the kerovim, especially the people that were religious from birth. Kerovim, we've been close to God since we're born. And who's the rechokim? Who's the ones that are far from God? The people that are not religious. But I read Rashi over here, he turns the world upside down. Rashi says, rechokim. Who's rechokim? Hamma'aminim bi ve'osim ritzonim min ne'urehem. Those that believe me and who serve me from when they're children. Those are the people that are far away from me. And who's the kerovim? Ba'ale teshuvah shenitkarevu elai mechadash. The ba'al teshuvah that just returned to God, he's the one that's cut off. And the one that in the vernacular they say, FFB. Mazir Hashem Tevot FFB. From birth. The from birth, the guy that's religious from birth, the prophet says, oh, he's rachok, he's far away. Oh, the guy that just made teshuvah, he's the one that's cut off. What's the explanation? Explanation is, because we went to yeshiva when we were young, and we learned everything when we were young, when our mind was very limited, and our intellect was very limited, and therefore, since the religion entered our brains when the intellect was at a low level, that's the level we have it on. And very, very few people review and upgrade it and advance themselves. They say, oh, we know, we learned Bereshit Bara in first grade, and next. And therefore, they don't get excited from it. Therefore, their approach to the religion is very, very, their connection is very dry because it's very superficial. Because their entrance into the religion was at a time where their brain was not developed yet. So therefore they have a very, what should I say, immature or juvenile interpretation of the Torah. So they're not excited about it. Whereas you take the Baal Teshuvah, his entry into the religion was when he's 30 years old. His brain is fully developed. When he looks at the words Bereshit Bara Elohim, wow, he sees it on a deeper level. Every pasuk he sees depth. So he gets excited about it. So what's working against us is Rabotai, is that Baruch Hashem, most of our members have been serving God for many years. And as a result, unfortunately, are considered rechokim. That's why when we pick up the Tehillim book, we've been reading Tehillim since we're 3 years old. Our father gave us the book, read. Okay, we're reading. We don't know what the words mean anyway. They told us you don't have to know what the words mean. Just read it and the benefit is there anyway. And that's how we got reading Tehillim. We're still reading it like a three-year-old. And where we come from, the faster you read it, the better it is, because that shows you that you're very, very adept at reading, and therefore, we don't have the connection. Whereas the Baal Teshuvah, he's Karov. He opens up the book and says, what is this book over here? Who wrote it? Where did it come from? Wow, David, he was a prophet. He wrote a bit of HaKodesh. How old is this book? The book is 3,000 years old. Rabotai, we get excited if somebody will come to me and say, we found an old manuscript of the Ben Ish Chai. I'll put on a suit and tie that day. I'll say, Yehishem, I'll make a party. You found a book of the Ben Ish Chai that wasn't printed? How long did the Ben Ish Chai live? 100 years ago. Imagine they told you, we found an old book of a Kabbalist from Sfat. The missing writings of the Arizal. Wow, missing writings of the Arizal? That's 500 years ago. And the Arizal wasn't a prophet. The Hafez Chaim says, here you have a book that's not 100 years ago. It's not 500 years. It's 3,000 years old. And it was written by a prophet. And it's his words himself that he toiled in writing. And therefore, if you go into the Tehillim Rabotai and erase all of your childhood memories, because that's working against us, And you have to come into this subject like a Baal Teshuvah. You have to come in new. Otherwise, we're not going to feel the kirba. We're not going to feel the closeness. We're always going to be the hawk. By the way, let this be a lesson when it comes to everything. Let this be a lesson. Anytime you open up a book in Tanakh, don't come in and say, oh, yeah, I know this story already. Yeah, I learned it already. Okay, maybe the rabbi will tell me a little extra hindush here and there. But that's not. No, you got to say, forget about whatever I learned. Whatever I learned, I didn't know anything. I was a kid. Now let me open it up. It's the first time I'm seeing the pisukim and let them come alive. So therefore, Rabotai, we're about to enter a very, very, very old book. Baruch Hashem, we still have it. This book over here primarily is used as a book of prayer. Now, I'm well aware that many of our members, especially the ladies, they are avid readers of Tehillim. Now, today there's Tehillim chats, and you see them just, you know, starting the book and finishing the book over and over again. There's a rotation that's endless. And primarily it's read for a purpose. Somebody's sick, somebody needs a Yeshua, somebody's in trouble, and therefore we take out our weapon, a medicine, call it the Tehillim book, and we read it. And we have enough experience to learn that it doesn't always work. Doesn't always work. And there are many of our members that have become despondent and despaired. They're reading and reading and reading, and the sick person did not get better. As a matter of fact, he got worse. Lo alenu, he died. We prayed for a certain Yeshua, and instead of getting a result, we got no results. And therefore, they become a little unmotivated, demotivated, instead of becoming charged, they lose their excitement. A lot of lackluster because they say, listen, it's hit or miss. It's hit or miss. So you're rolling dice. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. So I have to dispel that theory immediately, Rabotai, because we cannot study the book of Tehillim if the people are not going to know the ground rules of how the book works. If you're going to think that, oh, my daughter's 18 years old, she needs a shiduch, fantastic. I'm going to take the Tehillim, read it backwards and forwards, upside down, and I'm sure now I'll tell her to go sit by the phone, and the phone's going to ring, she's going to get married. Rabotai, if that's the way you think the book works, we have to dispel that immediately. Forget about the book, that's not the way tefillah works. That's not the way tefillah works. Let me explain to you the way that tefillah, all prayers, the way they work, just so you have a basic ground level. What I'm telling you now is based on the opinion of the Magid Meduvna. You remember God tells Abraham to go pray for Sodom. There was a city of Sodom, a bunch of criminals, a bunch of terrible people over there. But God comes along and tells Abraham about Sodom. Abraham immediately says, wow, a whole city is going to be destroyed. Let me pray. So Abraham prays a heartfelt prayer. If there's 50 tzaddikim, if there's 45 tzaddikim. You remember the prayer of Abraham. And then the Pasuk writes, introducing this story, Hamchaseh ani Avraham asher ani osa. God says, am I not going to tell Abraham what I'm planning to do to Sodom? Am I not going to let him know about the impending danger of Sodom? I have to tell him. Pasuk continues, Avraham ayo yeh de goy gadol atzum. And Abraham is going to be the father of a great nation. Comes the Magid Meduvna. What's the connection between the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk? God says, I got to tell him about Sodom. You know why I have to tell him about Sodom? Because Abraham's going to have a lot of children. Because Abraham's going to have a lot of children, that's why I have to tell him about Sodom. What's the kesher? The Magid gives a mashal. The mashal is of an old man and a young man that walk into the suit store. They sell suits, begadim. Well, the old man, before he buys the suit, he has to try it on, and he makes sure that it fits him perfectly. The young man, he picks 3-4 suits off the rack, and he takes it, he says, I'll take them. The old man says, I don't understand. I have to go into the mirror and check it and look at it. And you just take 3-4 suits, you don't even try them on. So the young man says, listen, you're an old man. You're not having any more children. You're wearing the suit yourself immediately. So it's got to fit you. He says, I'm a young guy. If it doesn't fit me, it'll fit my son one day. If it doesn't fit my son, it'll fit my grandson. I'm still beginning of my life, so I can take any suit that I take, it's going to fit somebody. The same thing. God said to Abraham, I'm destroying Sodom. God knew that Abraham Abinu is going to pray. But what happened to Sodom? Abraham's prayers were not answered. He didn't get an immediate answer. God actually destroyed Sodom. But Abraham was not despondent. God says, you know why I'm going to tell him to pray for Sodom? Because although he might not get answered today, but Abraham's going to have a lot of children. Abraham's going to have a lot of children. The Pasuk says, V'Avraham ayo yeh legoy gadol. Those tefillot that he prayed for Sodom, they might not be get answered in the immediate, but they'll get answered later on for his children, which means tefillot always have a result and a consequence. It's not always immediate. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. So therefore, look what God did. He generated basically a credit. He wanted Abraham to have credit of tefillot in the bank. Who knows, Rabotai, how many generations from Abraham till today, who knows how many of those tefillot Klal Yisrael used, maybe in the wars against Israel, maybe in the different situations where Klal Yisrael was in danger, and God went into the bank and said, you know what, let me take one of those tefillot of Abraham Abinu and bring it out in order to save the children. So you should never think that you wasted your time. You should never think that you were involved in something that was a futile exercise. It's never the case. Every tefillah is going to be used. Instead, if I have to give you the mashal, although the Magid Medugas mashal is a very good mashal, but I'll give you another mashal just so you can understand it. I want everything that we're saying in these classes to be crystal clear, that there should be no confusion amongst our members. When you go to the store to buy something, there's two ways you could buy. One way is cash and carry. You take the cash out, you pay for it, boom, you give them the money, and the clerk gives you the milk. That's the easiest way. But then there's another way. Another way is you give the clerk $100, and you say, put this in my account. And therefore, every time you come into the store, you don't have to put your hand in your pocket. Already, it's on account. You take the milk, and they just deduct it. Of course, when you do that system, you have to have trust in the shopkeeper that doesn't steal the $100. But assuming that you trust the shopkeeper, that he's going to give you the right credit, that he's going to deduct it correctly, what's the benefit of doing it that way? I'll tell you the benefit of doing it that way. The benefit is because when you have the $100, you might not always have it. So therefore, you give it to the clerk, so for a time that you're not going to have money, you'll still be able to access the merchandise. Whereas if you only pay cash, sometimes you're not going to have money. Then the clerk says, oh, you don't have any money, I can't give you the milk. So therefore, the benefit of using credit is because you come to the realization you might not always have the money. So when you have it, you want to put it in credit. The same thing when it comes to tefillah. You always want to have tefillot in the bank. You always want to have tefillot in the bank. You don't know, sometimes a person gets inspired to pray. He gets motivated, he's in a good mood, his concentration is good, he slept good, he ate good, his tefillot are very strong. That's an unbelievable time. Fill the bank up with those tefillot, Rabotai. Because you never know, there might come another time where you're not going to be able to pray. No, I don't know a person's, his concentration is lost, or he's preoccupied, but he tells Borei Olam, do me a favor, take from those tefillot that are in the bank in order to use them for the situation that is now. So that's already, Rabotai, another mashal, the way tefillot works. Sometimes tefillot is cash and carry. You pray, and you get a result. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. Of course it happens. But I'm just telling you, when it doesn't happen, you shouldn't say, oh, it's berachah lebatala. No. Your children will benefit from it. Your grandchildren will benefit. Who knows? Who knows all the zichuyot that we have in our community and in Klal Yisrael? Who knows if it's from our tefillot or it's from our grandparents' tefillot? We don't know whose tefillot are actually moving the pendulum. We don't know exactly how it works. It could be from the tefillot of our ancestors. And listen, the famous story that's told in the Gemara Ta'anit. Rabotai, I know we didn't say anything of the Tehillim yet. I'm reminding you, this is the introduction. You must allow me to give this introduction uninterrupted in order that when we get to the Tehillim, we're going to be able to appreciate it. Without this introduction, then we're going to lose out on the potency of what we're about to do. There was an old man who was planting a carob tree. I don't know if any of you ever planted a carob tree before. And he was planting the carob tree. The guy's an old man, he's 70 years old. So a young man comes up to him and says, how many years do you think it's going to be before it produces fruit? He says, oh, not before 70 years. He says, wow, you're an optimistic guy. You think you're going to live 70 years to eat from the fruit? He says, no, absolutely not. He said, what my grandfather did for me, I'm doing for my grandchildren. My grandfather planted a carob tree so I could eat the fruit. I'm planting a carob tree today so my grandchildren could eat from the fruit. It's the same thing with tefillah. A lot of times we make tefillah today because the Avraham goy gadol. You're planning on having many children, many grandchildren. Or even if it's not for yourself, it's in the bank of Klal Yisrael. So therefore, Rabotai, never despair or never be despondent if a tefillah was not answered in the cash and carry method. Sometimes it's going to be answered in the credit method, and therefore it's okay, you have to float in the bank for a rainy day. Okay, Rabotai, that is the first Hakdamah. And that's why we once explained, the Gemara says in Berachot, Tefillah is omedet berumoshel olam. Tefillah stands in the highest place in the heaven. Tefillah is a very high level. Prayer is not something to be taken lightly. It's called devarim she'omdim berumoshel olam. Simply it means it's in the highest echelons of heaven. But we explained that the tefillah is like clouds. Where are the clouds? The clouds are hanging in the sky. At a certain point, when God decides, He releases the rain, and the rain comes out of the clouds. The same thing with tefillah, the omdim b'ramoshim. Every tefillah you make is like a cloud. It goes up to the heavens and it's hovering. Sometimes the rain comes down immediately. You say, wow, I made a tefillah, bingo. The next second I got the customer, the guy called me. Shtabach Jemol. But sometimes it's omdim. Omdim means it's stationary. It's omdim b'ramoshim olam. And the cloud doesn't produce the rain until later. And sometimes it doesn't produce it in the place where you prayed. You prayed for the tefillah in New York and somebody in Israel gets answered. Who's connected to you in the Shema, or somehow it'll come around to benefit you one day, or your children. So that is the inyan of the power of tefillah in the present and the power of tefillah in the future. Therefore, we're going to start to learn Tehillim eventually, and we're going to start to use it. I'm going to teach you how to use it. We're going to use it. But I'm also teaching you how to accept the results. You have to be ready to accept the results on God's terms, not on our terms. Of course, we want everything now, like a baby. You know, when the kid comes along to the father and to the mother says, I want ice cream. And the kid says, yeah, I'll give it to you in 3 years from now. 3 years from now. He wants ice cream yesterday. He doesn't want it 3 years from now. So tefillah is not like an ice cream cone of a three-year-old that he's spoiled, and if he doesn't get it now, he's going to cry like a baby and turn the house upside down. Tefillah is a connection that we make with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the results, Borei Olam knows how to affect the results, either in the immediate present or in the future. Number two, Rabotai. Hakdama number two. Tefillot avot tekenu. Tefillot avot tekenu. The prayers were established by the fathers. Avraham tikent tefillat shahrit. Yitzhak tikent tefillat mincha. Yaakov tikent tefillat arbit. What does that mean, tiken? They established. What do you mean they established? It means Avraham prayed shahrit. But I also pray shahrit. So what's the difference between me and Avraham Avinu? No, he was the first one. Okay, he was the first one. But he was he invented it. What makes Avraham Avinu Shaharit so great? Oh, just because he was the first one to pray at that time, and then Yitzhak was the first one to pray at, but that's not the Lashon Tiken. Tiken sounds like he constructed something. Tiken sounds like he built something. I wouldn't have used the word Tiken by Tefillah. I wouldn't say Avraham Itpalel. He prayed, the first one to pray. Tiken sounds like he was involved in a construction of some sort. I'll explain to you the way I heard from my rabbis. I think it's based on a Maharsha. Today we can appreciate it a lot. Today a person picks up a telephone and he puts some numbers in the telephone, and all of a sudden he connects himself to the Far East, to the other end of the world. He could talk to somebody at the other end of the world. He doesn't have to raise his voice. He just talks in a regular low voice that he's talking to somebody in front of him, and the voice carries to the end of the world. How's that work? How's that work? So a person says, oh, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to try that. He picks up a phone and he pushes the button. He says, no, this phone's not going to work. Why? It's not connected. What do you mean not connected? In order for a phone to carry the sound waves from New York to Hong Kong, there is a very, very intricate system of cables that are under the ground, that are overground, that are in the water, fiber optics, a system that costs billions of dollars to create in order to carry that sound from one end of the world to the other. It just didn't happen because you dialed seven numbers into a machine, into a gadget, into a device. That device only works because somebody built the infrastructure to carry that sound. But if you don't build the infrastructure, the phone's not going to work. Tefillah is like a phone. When you open the sidur, you open up the, and also the words, that's like the numbers. You start reading. You're reading the words. Ashtay, ha'ish, ashed. However, the distance between this world and the Kisei HaKavod is much further than New York to Hong Kong. How is it possible that a human being on earth, his words are able to travel and reach Kisei HaKavod? Explanation is, Avraham Tikin. Avraham is the one that established the infrastructure that when a person will pick up the Sidur at the Shaharit time, there'll be a certain cable, a spiritual cable, to carry that tefillah up to the Kisei HaKavod. Avraham Tikin. It's a tikkun that he made. That means if Avraham did not pray Shaharit, you can open up the Sidur of the Rashash at Shaharit, it's not going to go up. The only reason why our tefillah of Shaharit works, because Avraham Avinu built the infrastructure. Tikin tefillah Shaharit. Oh, and if that's the case, Yitzhak Avinu did the same for Mincha. That's why in the afternoon when you pick up your Sidur, you have a connection. He said, I don't believe it. How in the world can I get up and open a Sidur and the Kisei HaKavod is able to hear me? Azak Baruch. Yitzhak Avinu, he prepared that for you over there. He did all the hard work for you. Now you just come pick up the phone and it's easy because you have the work of Yitzhak Avinu and Yaakov Avinu, alav shalom, the same. That's what it means, tikken. But I'd like to explain it to you with another mashal. Rabotai, I'm going very deliberately here. I want all these points to be crystallized before we get to the next step. If a person was ever on a plane, then we'll tell you, remember what an airplane was? In the olden days when you used to have airplanes, you were able to travel. They used to have a place called an airport, and you go on a plane, and they take you to places. Today, it's only a thing of the past, airplanes. They don't fly anymore. We're not allowed to go on airplanes anymore because of the COVID. Anyway, the airplane is an unbelievable structure. It's made of metal from the beginning to the end, wings, it's a tube, it has seats, it has lighting, air conditioning, heating systems, the technology, incredible. However, if you ever looked at the construction of a plane, the most important part of the plane is not the part that we're in. That's the part that's on the side of the plane is the engines. You ever hear they say the engines of this plane, the Rolls-Royce engines, General Electric, they produce the engine. It's the engine that allows the plane to have flight, to have liftoff. A plane without an engine is grounded. And that was the same thing in Rabotai. Avraham Avinu created the engine of Tefillat Shaharit. That's the Rolls Royce of Tefillat Shaharit. That means we come with a beautiful synagogue, we have a beautiful Bet Midrash, we have a nice Sidur. That's the airplane. Everything's very, very nice. We have the leather seats, we have the rug, we have the lighting, we have the coffee. Beautiful. We have all the amenities. But for this plane to get off the ground, you need a Rolls Royce engine. The Rolls Royce engine of Sha'arit Avraham Avinu. He created the engine that when you open the Sidur, all of a sudden it revs up. Not one engine, two engines, four engines. Boom, connected all the Olamot, and it revs up. And Tefillat Mincha the same, and Arbit the same. Rabotai, I want to tell you about another great Sadiq that established the Tefillah. This is not a Tefillah of Sha'arit Mincha and Arbit. This is a tefillah for all times, all days, all moments. And that's the tefillah of David HaMelech, alav shalom. David HaMelech, alav shalom, created a power of tefillah for all situations. He didn't only create a tefillah for himself. David HaMelech, when he established a tefillah, that tefillah would benefit anybody that reads these words. It's as if David HaMelech is saying the words himself. So you're getting not only his energy, you're getting his actual words themselves. But let me explain it to you better. What makes David HaMelech's prayer different than Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov is that David HaMelech was a king. He was a king. So what do you mean? The king's prayer was better than the Avot's prayer? It's different. Harambam writes about David HaMelech. In the laws of Melachim, in Perek Gimel Halakha Vav, the Rambam says something incredible, that kings have certain rules. They can't marry a certain amount of women. They're not allowed to have a lot of horses in their cavalry. There's laws. Why? Because the Torah was makpid, velo yasur lebabo. They're worried about the king's heart, that it should not be swayed. It should not be swayed by women, it should not be swayed by money. They want the king's heart to remain loyal to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Harambam's lashon is, shelibo hu lev kol kahal Yisrael. Unbelievable language. The lev of the king encompasses the lev of all Klal Yisrael. That means when we talk about the heart of a Jewish king, specifically David HaMelech, who's Chai V'Kayam, his heart has in it the emotions of all Klal Yisrael. So when he prays, all of Klal Yisrael's tefillot are included in that tefillah of David. So therefore, we have a tremendous, tremendous boost. We have a tremendous engine that David HaMelech created for us. That our tefillot are included in that lev. So when he made these 150 chapters, he wasn't only praying for himself. He includes in those chapters any possible situation that might arise in the Bam Shel Klal Yisrael in the future. It's in these words. I don't want to say the word piggyback, but we're taking a piggyback. We're piggybacking on David HaMelech. He's making the prayer, and we're holding on the back, and he's taking us up. There's no book like this. Now let me talk about third introduction. The third introduction is vitamins and medicine. What does that mean, vitamins and medicine? The purpose of medicine is to take it after a person gets sick. The purpose of the vitamins is to take it in order that a person will not get sick. That means medicine is reactive, and vitamins is preventative. The Gemara says in Shabbat on page 32, Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Bereh de Rabbi Yehuda, Le'olam yivakesh adam rachamim shelo yicheleh. A person should pray that he shouldn't get sick. Shelo yicheleh. She'im yicheleh, because after he gets sick already, Omrim lo habizichuyot. After you get sick already, now you have the burden of proof is on you. You want to get better? Bring proof. Bring zichuyot. Therefore, the Gemara says, don't wait for medicine. Prayer should not be only something that's reactive. Well, oh, the guy got hit. He needs a Yeshua. Let him pray. Now, once you got hit, it's much more difficult. Therefore, the Gemara is saying, use tefillah like a vitamin. That means pray before it happens that it doesn't happen. That's a big key in tefillah, Rabotai. I'm sorry to tell you that most people don't know that thing. Most people, there's no reason, if you see somebody reading Tehillim today, what's your first question? What happened? You know, what happened? Because you can't just read Tehillim for future things that, for not happening, for avoiding things. No, he's sick. He's sick. Okay, flush him out. But imagine you came along and said, I'm praying for so-and-so. Why, is he sick? No, but I'm praying that he never gets sick. Wow, I never thought about that. Yeah, why wait? So the girl's 18 years old, now you pray for Shidduchim. No, why are you waiting till she's in the crisis? Pray before, pray when the kid's 2 years old. By the way, I'll tell you a secret. When we name a baby at the Sefer Torah, when we name the baby, I do it all the time, baby girl, what do we say? And the name is baby is going to be Sarah Bat Rachel. And Bezat Hashem, she should be healthy and happy and get married. She's not even 1 year old yet. She can't even go out on a date. How's she going to go out on a date? She's a baby. When she get married, first, by the way, she should be able to how to go use the bathroom first. Let her eat carrots and peas first. No, she should get married. So when the child gets married at 18 years old, so the kid's saying, wow, what is zechut? I've been praying since you were born. Before you were born, I was praying that you should get married. So, which means, Klai Yisrael has to know that the power of tefillah is not only during a crisis. That's a medicine. Tefillah is a vitamin. Tefillah is an order that you maintain yourself, that you won't come to these situations. You have to pray always before the trouble. Shelo yechere. I saw Rav Shimshon Pinkus alav shalom, Zeken Tzadik Levracha, he brought down a mashal to this. He said, the Six-Day War, which was a tremendous victory, he says, he remembers there was a lot of prayer vigils around the world in Jewish communities before the Six-Day War. People knew Christ is in trouble. Egypt is threatening, the other enemies were threatening. We knew that our existence was in trouble. There was fast days, there was tefillah, and look what happened. Look what happened before the war already. There was a lot of tefillot. So going into the war already, the tefillot were already there. He said he doesn't remember before the Holocaust, lo alinu velo alechem, that there were prayer vigils around the world as much for the protection. Maybe that was part of the gezerah that the Kadosh Baruch Hu took away that koah of tefillah that we shouldn't pray. He made us not think that it's going to be so dangerous. But nonetheless, Rabotai, you do see tefillah is valuable not only before or after the problem, but before the problem also. That's a great benefit for us. So therefore, the setup, the takeaway from this introduction is your tehillim has value always. You don't have to wait for something to happen to open up a tehillim book. You're praying for protection and maintenance going forward. Okay, now the final step of this introduction, and then I'll review a few so you understand the points that we're making here today. There's a midrash. The midrash is in Yalkut Shimoni Yoshua. Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mebo'o Mehulal Shem Adonai. Which means the sun has a path. Sunrise is in the east. It goes all the way around, and by the end of the day, it settles in the west. Mizrach Shemesh, from the rising of the sun in the Mizrach, Ad Mibo'o, until it lands in the west. So the Pasuk says, what is the sun doing besides shining on the world during its orbit or during its journey? Mehulal Shem Adonai. The sun is praising Hashem. You didn't know that one of the greatest singers is the sun. Problem is, it's on a different frequency, so you don't hear it. If you were able to get on the right station, the right frequency, you'd hear the sun singing from morning till evening. And what is it singing? The praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know this? What about ties? I don't want to jump to the Tehillim, but everything is a Tehillim. Every morning in Shacharit, we talk about not only the sun singing. The sun is only one of the members of the choir of God. Everything in the creation sings a song. As a matter of fact, we have a chapter in Tehillim. We say it in the morning. It's probably the most important chapter of the Pesukei Zimra. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Tadonai Meneshamam El Benomim. Halukol Menachav Kosevav. Hallelujah, Shemesh Ve'yarayah. Let the sun sing your song. Let the moon, let the stars, let the water, the animals, the fish, the fire, the snow, the hail, the wind, the mountains, the fruit trees, the cedar wood, birds, kings, nations, men, children, old, young. Yehallelu'ah Shem Adonai. The world is singing the praises of God. All of the creation. I quote the Midrash. The Midrash says, Misha'ah she'ashem zoreyah ad she'u shoka mekanes la'kadosh baruch hu. Look at that. That's what the sun is doing. How do we know this? I'll tell you something amazing. You remember there was a time that Yehoshua ben Nun stopped the sun. He stopped the sun for whatever reason. You know how the Torah tells us how he stopped it with the languages? Shemesh be'Gibeon Dom. The sun that was over Gibeon Dom. What does the word Dom mean? Dom means Vayidom, was silent. No, that's the wrong word. It should say Shemesh be'Gibeon Atzar. It stopped. It was silent. I didn't know the sun was making any noise. Says the Midrash, because the sun was singing. And Yeshua told the sun, keep quiet, stop singing for a minute. Stop singing, Dom, stop singing. Why did he stop it from singing? Says the Midrash, because you know what gives the energy of the sun to move? You know what gives the koach to the sun to be able to give such kohot to the world? The praises that it gives to God. That's the gasoline, that's the fuel. When the sun is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it in turn gets so much energy that's able to go with Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mebo'o. When Yeshua needed the sun to stop, he says, close the book for me, stop singing, Dom. Once it stopped praising God, it lost its energy. It just ran out of gas, it stopped. And that's the whole creation, all the creation that you see that's moving and it's hustling and bustling and growing and producing. It's all because of the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, if that's the case of Otai, if the elephant sings the praise of God, I know many of the ladies, they read Perek Shira, became very, very in fashion today, that they have a book with teachers of all the different animals and parts of the creation that praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very, very important. I know my wife, God bless her, she reads the Perek Shira as well every day. When I come home, always when I come home, Hamor Omer. I said, how is it possible that you always get to the Hamor right when I walk in? No, it's just a coincidence. Okay, one time it's a coincidence, two times, but every single day, Amor Omer. Anyway, the point is, if the animals and the sun praise God, human beings are the highest level of the creation. We're the apex of the creation. And therefore, human beings have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We also have to sing the song of God. That means, my point being, we always think that tefillah is going shopping. I need to go shopping. Well, I need this, I need this, I need that. So let's open the Sidur. And we put the order in like Amazon. We tell God, okay, listen, I have a daughter, I have a son, I have one of these here, I need one of those. And by the way, is there a back order on what I asked for yesterday? I didn't get it yet. I didn't get confirmation on that item over there. And please, this I need very quickly, so put it prime. I need to come today. So you're going shopping. That's a very, very juvenile explanation of tefillah. By the way, the sun gets nothing for what it praises God for. Sun gets, by the way, the sun wants nothing. The sun considers it a zichut to praise God. Guess what? If you were to tell me that they're going to put you in the king has a certain king in a certain country that's very powerful, and he has an orchestra. And they take the 100 best musicians and they put them in this orchestra and they play music for the king. Nobody would say, what are you going to get for it? What do we get? What do you mean? We don't need you. What are we going to get for it? You're one of the 100 that's going to play music for the king. That's your reward in itself. You're giving pleasure to the king. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, if the son praises God and wants nothing in return, God says, listen, I'm not telling you you can't pray and get things in return. But even without that, you have to praise God because you have to praise God. That's what gives us our life. That's what gives us our hayut. And therefore, you should open the Tehillim book just to praise God for no other reason. Not because the first introduction I told you is don't expect immediate results. The second explanation I told you, pray before it happens. The third thing I'm telling you, you don't have to pray for anything. You can read the Tehillim, just pray. You know, the Goyim say, praise the Lord. Praise God. That's a value in itself, to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Be part of the orchestra, be part of the symphony. The angels, by the way, what do the angels do? The angels praise God every day. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Ask me a question. How many times does an angel in his career get to sing Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh in that choir? Exactly, once. The whole purpose of an angel existence is so once he can stand in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and say, Kadosh, 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 praise the Lord, you're holy, Kadosh. And he said, wow, what is Echut? He's preparing his whole existence for that one cameo appearance, and it's Kedai. And the angel says, wow, it was worth everything. It was worth everything. So too the Jewish people, human beings. I learned from Rav Chaim Brim, alav shalom. He was a great rabbi in Yerushalayim. And he once asked us the following hypothetical question I'm going to pose to our members here today. If let's say Eliyahu HaNavi would come along and tell you, person was dead in the grave. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to the guy in the grave, listen, you're being resurrected, you have 10 minutes. You have 10 minutes before we put you back in the grave. You're resurrected, you're getting a second chance, 10 minutes. What would you do in those 10 minutes? One guy says, oh, 10 minutes, I go to 7-Eleven, get a Slurpee. What are you talking about? I have a Slurpee. There's no Slurpees down there in the kibbutz. Okay, you wasted on a Slurpee. Another guy comes along and says, wow, 10 more minutes. You know what? I'm going to there's certain things I didn't tell my mother-in-law when I was alive. I want to go give her a piece of my mind. Take advantage of it. Everybody would say something else. Another guy says, I want to eat a hamburger. Everybody would do something. Other guys, I want to go on a roller coaster. Now I'm not scared I'm going to die because I know I'm going to die anyway, so I might as well go on the roller coaster. You know, Rav Chaim, and we all, so of course we're religious. We thought Rav Chaim Brim, yeah, we're going to run to the Beit HaMidrash, open up Harambam, learn. He said, oh, very nice, very nice. He said, but that's not what David HaMelech said. David HaMelech said, Ahalela Adonai Behayai, I will praise you, God, when I have life. Azamera Lelohai Be'odi. I will sing the praises to you as long as I am here. That means for David HaMelech, the greatest thing that a person can do with his time is praise God. Not give me this, give me that. I need just praise. That in itself is creates a connection. Furthermore, I remind you, the greatest Sadiqim all wrote songs. Recently, we sang a song in one of our shiurim of Rabbi Shaim Lutzato. You know, he wrote hundreds of different zimirot. The Syrians have a custom, on Shabbat we sing bakashot. These are all songs of praise. Praise of God. Now, the rabbi has nothing better to do? What do you mean? That's not the question, nothing better to do. That's the best thing they could do. That is the best thing they could do. It's not a waste of time. Look at all the beautiful songs that Ibn Ezra wrote, that Rabbi Yisrael Najara wrote, the great Tzaddikim that all penned different praises of Hashem. Now, every tzaddik praises God in their own way. But what's the highest praise? The Shirot v'Tishbehot David ben Yishai. The songs of David is the highest level. Labdil, in music, you have Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Okay, very nice, easy music. You can play that with one finger on the piano. And then you have Mozart. Oh, now you need to be an octopus to play that. You have to have 8 hands on the piano to make sure you know the keys of Mozart. So, the highest level of praise that we have in Judaism of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the words that came out of the pure heart of David HaMelech. And we're able to say those words. That means everybody can become a player of Mozart. It's unbelievable. So instead of having to use your own words, which is twinkle, twinkle, little star, you're able to go nice. But Rabbi, I don't know how to play. Play it. Open the Tehillim book. Only difference is, to appreciate Mozart, you have to understand the music, you have to understand what he's doing. And therefore, it's incumbent, if you really want to connect to the praises of God, imagine you're praising somebody, you have no idea what you're saying. You have no idea what you're saying to them. You're coming along and you take a book, a Chinese newspaper, and you're reading it in front of the king. The king says, by the way, I speak English. Could you tell me what you're saying? Well, I have no idea. I'm just reading the words over there. For all you know, you're reading the ingredients to your shampoo. Guy doesn't know what he's reading. So what kind of praise is it? And you can tell the king, listen, I just know it's good stuff. I know it's good stuff. Okay, it's good stuff, but that's not a real praise. The whole key, if you're going to use the Tehillim, you have to understand what you're saying. Listen, Rabotai, I know we got used to reading Tehillim like a locomotive train, the express train. Guy comes, oh, we read 50 chapters, we read 200 chapters, 300 chapters, we read book 67 times. One word you understood? One word you understood? No, you don't have to understand it. You're right. So it's a mitzvah not to understand it? Therefore, we should go out of our way not to understand it. We understand everything, by the way. Today, everybody wants to understand everything. When it comes to Tehillim, no, this you don't have to understand. So you're losing the whole potency of it. You're not benefiting from the connection that it makes with David HaMelech. So therefore, it's incumbent upon us, Rabotai, to take the trouble in order to praise God, not only before the fact, but now I'm saying praise God for the sake of praise. Why? Why not? We owe him everything. Hakarat HaTov. By the way, past performance. Forget about future results. Just on past performance alone, we have to praise God. But again, in a society that says, what have you done for me lately? Listen, today I didn't get it. That's it. I'm not praising you. No. God doesn't owe you anything. Anybody have a contract with God? Anybody have a signed contract with God that he owes you something? He doesn't owe you anything. The fact that you have Baruch Hashem, everything worked until now. Just for that, we say in the Shemat, you'd have to praise God. Elef alfei alafim berob ribere babot paimot tovon esim flaot. You have to thank God endlessly, even for 1 millionth of the kindness that he does for us. So that's another inyan of the Tehillim. It's a Shevach. Good. Last two points that I'd like to make, and then I'd just like to make a quick review of this introduction. And by the way, Rabotai, I don't want anybody to be surprised if next week I offer you introduction number two. I'm not so sure that I'm satisfied with this one introduction to the Tehillim. We might have to have 150 introductions to the 150 chapters. And if that's the case, so be it. We have to be up to that mitzvah. There was one of the great tzaddikim. He saw one of his members reading the Tehillim cover to cover, and he was all excited. He came to the Rebbe after, he said, Rabbi, I finished the Tehillim. So the Rabbi told him, what took David HaMelech 70 years to write, you did in 2 hours? His point being, where does it say that it's a mitzvah to finish the book? Maybe there's a value in reading a little slower and understanding what we're reading and understanding the chapters and getting the benefit. There was a great rabbi called Rabbi Rafael Shlomo Lanyano. He was the chief rabbi in Halab. He wrote a sefer called Bet Dino Shel Shlomo. And he was a big tzaddik. He would sit in the Beit Midrash all day long. When somebody would pass away, lo aleinu, at a funeral, he would go 4 steps, walk, and run back to the Beit Midrash. He wouldn't waste time. There was the water carrier of Halab, the guy, simple guy who carries the water. When he passed away, the rabbi went not only 4 steps, but went all the way to the funeral, to the cemetery, and buried him. They told Racham Shlomo Lanyado, Racham, who's this guy? He's a water carrier. He's, I don't know. But when I went out, I saw all malachim, angels and angels and angels flying over his grave like I never saw before. And I don't know, I saw David HaMelech. I saw the angel of David HaMelech over this guy's grave. I said, what do you mean? If they're going to bury him, I have to go with them. His son, Rabbi Ephraim Lanyado, that's the picture of Rabbi Ephraim Lanyado, Chaim Shlomo Lanyado, that is. Rabbi Ephraim Lanyado comes along.
Oh,
yes, let's go.
So Rabbi Ephraim Lanyado, alav shalom, he comes along and he he wants to know, what zichut did this guy have? So he prays to God, please give me the answer, what zichut this guy had. So he comes along and he says, that night the guy came to him in a dream. The water carrier came to Rabbi Ephraim Manyaro in a dream. And he tells him, listen, I'm a simple guy. I don't know how to read. I don't know nothing. All I knew was the first sefer in Tehillim. That's all I knew. Not only the book, the first sefer. Every day I would come home from my job, I go to the knees and just keep on reading the first sefer of Tehillim. He says, now I understand. Look at a simple guy. That's a guy who didn't even understand what he was reading. But he connected to the first perek, and look at David HaMelech came down to greet him. And the Malach, imagine if a person could connect to the Tehillim with understanding. My point of that story to show you, that's if a person just read it without any. But guess what? We're not going to have that excuse. He was a water carrier, he didn't have an education. So he can get away with it and say, oh, I didn't know what I was doing, that's all I knew. But what are we going to say? We went to yeshiva, most of us. We have understanding. And when it comes to other things in life, we demand an explanation. And then when it comes to Tehillim, we say, nah, all we care about is just read. How many chapters we can read? Rabotai, the purpose of these shiurim is to turn quantity into quality. We have to turn the Tehillim into a qualitative book as well in order to benefit from the real fullness of the Sefer. Be'ezat Hashem, I will just review quickly the concepts that I said today. Number one, we have to read Tehillim like a Baal Teshuvah. The Baal Teshuvah is Karov. He's Karov because he approaches it at an older age. We have to forget whatever we were taught when we were young, when we didn't have the proper intellect. That's Rahok. We have to be Karov like the prophet Yeshaya said. We also have to know that Tefillah is Omedet Berumoshet Olam. It's suspended in the air. It does not always have an immediate effect, but it will have an effect either on Avraham or on Avraham's children, like we read in the story of Sodom. There's two ways to buy products, either cash or credit. Tefillah works the same way. And sometimes credit is good because when you don't have cash on hand, you could pull into the archives in order to get. The tefillot that we're involved in were established by the Avot. They created the infrastructure that our tefillot should have a connection, that we can call God and we get a reception, and they created the engine. When you're reading Tehillim, you're connecting yourself to that engine that David HaMelech created. It's still running that engine in order for us to lift ourselves up. Furthermore, Harambam writes that the heart of the king is the heart of Klal Yisrael. So when you're reading the Tehillim of David, he has us in mind. His heart is a big heart and includes all of us. All of what David requested is all the requests of Klal Yisrael. We have to pray not only after the makkah, that's a medicine. We have to pray before, that's a vitamin. And as a result, we said that one of the purposes of reading the Tehillim is just to praise God for the purpose of praise. I guess that would be a good idea. If you normally read two Tehillim a day, or three Tehillim a day, one Tehillim you should say, this is for the problem. This is for the problem. The second Tehillim, this is so I don't have problems. And the third one is just to praise God. Nothing, no problems, you have problems. Just to pray. I'm not worse than the sun. I'm not worse than the moon. I'm not worse than the aardvark that praises God, than the yak that praises God. I'm a human being, which is the highest level of the creation. And then we also see, Rabotai, that when a person praises, it gives him koah. When the sun stopped praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, dom, the sun stopped its revolution. The only reason why Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mebo'o, the only reason why the sun is able to travel with Mizrach Shemesh Ad Mebo'o is because Mehulal Shem Adonai, because it's praising. And our koah as well in life as humans, which is the highest level, comes from praising as well. Yiratzon, like we will end off every class, that Zechut of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom, that we've embarked upon this great concept and idea to delve into his words, should be Zechut for us and for the Menuchemet, Le'abat Virgin, Zechuto, Zechutam Yagen Aleinu, Amen Ken Yiratzon.
Amen Ken Yiratzon. Hazak Baruch.
Hazak Baruch.